This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Shaking in the nook and cranny and canyon or wherever it is that you hail from, and you're listening to the show. Kate Delaney, as always, happy to be the skipper of this ship where we are navigating some choppy water, that's for sure. Interesting stories of heroism and really a community coming together in Boulder, Colorado, after a horrific shooting at a grocery store that left 10 people dead. And then on the Hill, while there is conversation about guns and loopholes and background checks and assault bans, the real spar came over, voting rights between two top Democrats and a couple of top Republicans, too, and that affects every single one of us when it comes to voting. And AstraZeneca, well, they changed the number on how effective it is, their shot, at preventing COVID-19 symptoms, although it's just a couple percentage points down. So we'll jaw about that, jump into the mailbag, too, as well, during this hour, and we have a couple of other things coming up around the bend. But let's start with what I think is tremendous. It's humans helping humans. We're all walking the path together home. That's what I think. And somebody else said that line, a very famous poet once, about walking each other home. So a barista at King Soopers store in Boulder, Colorado, said he hid his coworkers behind some trash cans. One, to keep them safe from a gunman who killed those people in that mass shooting. 20-year-old Logan Smith, he was working at the store's Starbucks kiosk when a customer yelled out to him to take cover because there was an active shooter in the parking lot. So, you know, he ducked outside, checked, saw that was happening, saw a customer get shot and fall to the ground, and also saw a coworker get shot, but didn't bail, decided, which of course he could have easily done and maybe should have, right? Run for his life. Instead, he went back inside. He called 911 from a store phone, scrambled to hide coworkers. One was a 69-year-old woman under a counter, then pushed trash cans in front of her specifically to conceal her. And when people were talking about the story, he didn't want lots of credit for it. He said, look, I'm a pretty big guy. I'm 6'4", so hiding for me is impossible. If the gunman ever came to my kiosk, saw me, I would be in a life-threatening situation. So he did say that he walked within 10 to 15 feet of their hiding place several times in the couple of minutes he was in their area, and said one of the scariest parts, and can you all imagine this, one of the scariest parts about it was the silence throughout the store because he didn't hear him say a word, nothing, just silence from the beginning. All you could hear was the popping, the gunshots, and then the store music and automated messages that were going on about specials and the nonsense that, of course, you normally kind of turn or tune out when you're walking the grocery aisles. But this was one of the shattering moments of what happens when you're not expecting it. So ultimately, what a great thing that he did. And there are other stories of many other people who hid people, pulled them away, put their hands on their back to push them out of the store to get them out, did that single file thing, and probably saved some lives, because who knows what would have happened. Police got there pretty quickly and then surrounded the place, but still there was that fear and the realization that even more, 10 is way too many, 1 is way too many, but even more could have been killed. The Cuomo soap opera continues. You know who I'm talking about, the governor of New York, right at the top of this. I'm not going to tease you with this. I'm just going to give you the payoff. So apparently, Cuomo's family was given priority to COVID tests early in the pandemic. He should just resign, right? At this point, he's got a target on his back, and I don't know how he can get rid of that target no matter what. So they were pretty scarce in the beginning. Remember, people would say, could you get a test? No, they were turned away from hospitals. There were stories about people who were told, just go back home and see how you feel, monitor yourself, and they didn't have tests. There weren't a lot of tests. But it turns out that his family and some other well-connected people close to the administration got these tests. Now, this was reported in the Washington Post and the Times Union in Albany, talking about his office arranging the testing for the family. And that, by the way, included his brother, who got COVID-19, his brother, CNN anchor Chris, and some other influential people with close ties to the governor. And the testing was done at times at people's homes, and in part by Dr. Eleanor Adams, an epidemiologist who was a special advisor to the state health department. Now, somebody could say, well, I mean, the governor, right? The president, the governor, people, legislators, shouldn't they have access to that? But now you start to sprinkle it down the family tree, and especially in New York, where it was so bad in the beginning, it was so awful in the beginning, that I would think there would be people that would not be happy about this. Now, the office didn't deny any of the reports. They said the state was trying to test as many people as possible. This was what they said, to develop a contact tracing program, citing the door-to-door efforts to test people in New Rochelle, which was the first place of the outbreak, the Westchester County community that was a hotspot, the first in the nation, actually. So I think what they're trying to say is, well, we had to do this, and of course, you know, whoever we had to test to make sure that it was okay, and tried to figure out how we could maximize this coverage. But to me, it does not look good. You know, the governor spoke March 3rd, 2020, days after New York had its first case, on his brother's Sirius XM radio show to urge that in times of emergency, it requires the purest distillation of government. He said, it's not about capacity, and said that it's not about concepts. It's not about rhetoric. Either government figures out how to handle the situation, do the best they can with the tests and the quarantine, and get all the health departments unified, or it doesn't. There's no politics to it. But what happened, I would say, would suggest politics, don't you think? Anyway, he's too easy of a target, there's that word again, to just beat up on him. But with the allegations of harassment, then what happened with the numbers being buried of the true numbers of those who were dying in nursing homes, the underreporting of that, and now this pops up too. You just got to think, white flag, brother, white flag. You know, resign. It is just right there in the air. He is not going to resign. It certainly looks that way, and I think removal would be worse, right? I think so. Coming up, when we dip into the mailbag, a few of you wanted to sound off on gun rights, gun laws, loopholes. It was kind of all over the map, which I'm not surprised about. So, to the mailroom we go.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, Mac? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Let's get in the mailbag.
Yeah, let's do it. As always, the overflow, if this were actual physical mail, I would barely be able to talk because it would be up above my head. So thank you for that. Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Flip me your thoughts that way. So I got this one from Tom listening to us actually in Colorado. Hi, Kate. I think we have some mutual friends. They told me about your show. And I've been listening for a couple of months now. It is horrible what's happened in Boulder. And there are lots of quick arguments over what should happen as far as guns. Because in Boulder, as you know, there were strict gun laws that had just gone into place a couple of years prior. And then they were lifted. So now there's a lot of arguments over whether or not that should have happened and should assault weapons be banned. Our talk radio here is filled with that conversation. And here's what I would say. I don't own guns. I hunted when I was a teenager with my father a little bit. But I think when you take things away, that only makes the black market that much bigger, and it could be that much worse for everybody. And I hate to even throw this into the pile because I think it is sort of a weak argument, but it is true, and we've seen it, that when somebody wants to do something harmful, they find a way with a machete, with a bomb, plowing into people with a car, using other things as weapons. All right, Tom, I'm trying to think of how I know you. Now you have me curious, but here's the thing. Senators are splintered, you know, partisan lines over this whole thing with gun control measures. Democrats are demanding action because of the two mass shootings, and Republicans are saying, no, they're denouncing that. I mean, this has been decades long, these arguments over guns. And whenever there's gun violence, then that bubbles back up again. Democrats are saying that the latest carnage left them no choice but to enact stricter policies. We've heard that again. We've heard that again before whenever something happens. And they're talking about the fact that this is too normal. Why should we have this? Can't we do something about this? This is a moment, as Dick Durbin, the senator from Illinois, said, a moment of that we don't have to allow others to do what we need to do, that prayer leaders have their importance in this, their place in this, but we are Senate leaders. What are we doing? So from that, I bounce to this. This one is from Duncan, and Duncan is listening to us in Connecticut. Kate, I won't even have to tell you about Sandy Hook and what happened in my state and how we mourn the loss of so many children that should never, ever, ever have happened. For God's sake, get assault weapons banned in this country. Here's the thing. Fine with handguns. Fine with other gun rights. Fine with owning guns. Why do we need assault weapons so that nutballs can feel free to open fire in schools, in churches, and in supermarkets, and like that, in an instant, kill too many people who cannot defend themselves against that? Even if they had a handgun, they'd be lucky if they hit a shooter who didn't give a damn about human life and had a lot of magazines and ammunition, if you know what I'm saying. Well, yeah, that's the argument, right? So why can't you ban the assault weapon and everything else is, you know, status quo? I mean, you look at background checks. I mentioned that the Trump administration had done a few things with the bump stocks because of, on a previous show, what happened in Las Vegas. You know, this is the bottom line. The long odds in a 50-50 Senate, forget it. There's lots of conversation, but, and there, I'm sure, can be protests and et cetera. But if you strictly look at the numbers aren't there. You know, House Democrats passed two bills this month aimed at strengthening background checks for gun buyers by applying them to all gun buyers and extending the time the FBI has to vet those flagged by the National Instant Check System. So here's the thing. I mean, this was an assault weapon, and there's no ban in place. The 21-year-old who opened fire and killed all these people in the grocery store, he was clear locally. But the FBI had him on a list. They were watching him because of his insane rants on Facebook and other social media. So they had flagged him. Maybe they could have caught him. Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa, the top Republican on the panel, said in his opening remarks that he was hopeful Democrats and Republicans could work together to make bipartisan, common sense progress on gun control. But he said that the House passed legislation that didn't fit the bill, since the measures pass almost entirely along party lines. And again, this is the problem, right? And so Duncan's in Connecticut. Duncan, you're in Connecticut. Thanks for the email. Senator Ted Cruz went toe-to-toe with Senator Blumenthal, Democrat from Connecticut, who said that Republicans had offered fig leaves rather than actionable, significant solutions to gun control. And Cruz said, every time there's a shooting, we play this ridiculous theater where this committee gets together and proposes a bunch of laws that would do nothing to stop these murders. But what they propose, not only does it not reduce crime, it makes it worse. So as always, we have our unofficial poll going. What is the solution? Assault ban, just strictly on that, yay or nay. And you know the address, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. kate@katedelaneyradio.com. We'll do one more. This one is from Joseph. He says, Kate, it just breaks your heart to see and hear the stories of the people. You're right. We don't do enough to talk about the victims. So much of the focus is always on the insane moron who destroys lives in an instant. But this one, at least, is going to do time for sure, I would assume, the alleged shooter, since they have him all over the place and have eyewitnesses, etc. It doesn't bring the people back, though. And here's the thing. If somebody wants to get you, and I know it is that same old chestnut that people roll out, if somebody wants to get you or do something heinous, they know ways to do it. They have ways to do it. I think there should be better background checks. There should be loopholes that get closed. I mean, that's fine. And there should be a better way for that information to be transferred to the FBI. And maybe there are people that can be stopped, but it does have to be bipartisan, because otherwise it doesn't work anyway. All right, so there you go. Doesn't work anyway. All right, let's move on to something else quickly that I got in the mailbag today. And this one was from Hal. Hi, Kate. I think our paths have crossed in a newsroom a very, very long time ago. Think K-O-B. I just wanted to say hi. I've been listening to the show. I enjoy it. And I got to tell you, I was an anti-vaxxer just because I didn't want to get vaccinated and didn't like the odds of what I was hearing as far as these side effects. Stronger heads around me prevailed. I got the vaccine, and I got Moderna, and I am fine. I had no side effects whatsoever. Neither did my wife or my two grown children. So keep at it. Love what you're doing. Hal, I think it's Hal, the photographer that I worked with at KOB, which is a big television news station in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yeah, we've seen people that have changed their minds on the vaccine and others that have not changed their mind. Again, the whole thing is herd immunity, right? And the availability is now, it's going pretty fast. It's going wide. In Texas, it's anybody who wants one can really get one. I mean, you know, the veterans and their wives now can get it. Their spouses can get it. It's just wide open. There's many, many, many places that it's available. So I know that there are other areas that are still kind of struggling with that in the United States, but a lot of that has opened up. And I think before May, well before May, it's going to be April, and anybody who wants a vaccination can get a vaccination. And it's just a matter of signing up for it and going and getting it. We move on to a man who is going to impress you with his knowledge. Charles Ladner joins us. He's written an interesting book. Hang through.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
South Korean officials say that the North Korean military has fired a pair of ballistic missiles, the second launch from the North Koreans in less than a week. The missiles splashed down in the Sea of Japan early Thursday morning local time. The South Korean government says they are analyzing the flight paths for any additional information, along with U.S. intelligence. The North Koreans launched a pair of short-range ballistic missiles over the weekend as well, coming after the North Korean government issued warnings to the Biden administration about joint military operations with South Korea. and 13 states have sued the administration over the president's suspension of new oil and gas leases on federal lands. The group, led by Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry, is suing to reinstate the sale of oil and gas leases that was scheduled for March 17th and subsequently canceled by the president's executive order. This is USA Radio News. Border Patrol agents are feeling the strain as they deal with the worsening humanitarian crisis on the southern border, with the Department of Homeland Security expecting more illegal immigrants to cross in 2021 than in the last 20 years. Chris Cabrera is the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council and tells Fox News that agents need more resources to do their job.
We don't have anything being done right now. It's getting worse by the day. And unless we get some real help, some real solutions, even temporary solutions, it's going to continue to get worse. And bad things happen once night falls down here. And it's, you know, it needs to be avoided at all costs.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz will lead a group of senators in a visit to the border on Friday and tells Fox News that the issues at the border are a result of President Biden's immigration policies.
All of this is the direct result of political decisions made by Joe Biden and his administration. When Joe Biden became president, he halted construction of the border wall, he reinstituted the failed policy of catch and release, and he ended the Remain in Mexico policy, and that has resulted in this crisis.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Joins us for a great conversation. We had a marvelous conversation off the air. I took so many notes that I went back and looked at them. I said, this is three pages of notes. I feel like I'm back in school, because he was so fascinating. And these books are so fascinating. Inequality and Evolution, the Biological Demands of Capitalism, Socialism, and Income Equality. Especially what we talked about in that one, Reflections on Creation, Original Sin, and Big Evil. That's the other book. And Charles, thanks so much for popping on.
Oh, happy to do it.
So it's interesting. We talked about your background. We talked about going to Notre Dame. We talked about Columbia and the MBA and finance and the things that you've seen and how you've pulled it together in the first book I mentioned, Inequality and Evolution. Where do you see us headed when it comes to capitalism, socialism, and income equality?
Well, you know, that book, what I try and do is start out biology, start out with Darwin's principles of evolution and move on to cellular biology. And the one thing that comes across very clearly is that every living thing from, you know, single cell amoebas all the way up to human beings, including insects and birds and plants and everything, they're cellular construction, and each cell is oriented towards seeking its own reproduction and survival. And in fact, Dawkins brings it down to the actually genetic level, the level of genes. I'm not sure I'm prepared to go that far, but the reality is that everything that every living thing does is oriented towards one objective, and that's its own survival and its own reproduction. And that's pretty well established as a first principle of all biology and all life. Now, if you carry that forward into the economic world, what we're talking about is people looking for ways to live, to continue to live and to prosper. And that really gets translated into economic systems. I believe that if to the degree that an economic system is consistent with that fundamental fact of biology, it'll be relatively successful. On the other hand, if the system subverts it or gets in the way of it, it will not be successful. An example of that, and the best example I know of, is socialism. Socialism requires some very good things. It wants everybody to have the same amount of income and live in total equality. The problem with that is it requires suppression of your fundamental drives towards, well, selfishness, as a matter of fact. Greed, if you will. Those are the fundamental drives. And because it suppresses that, it ultimately results in failure, and that's really been demonstrated by the historical record. Capitalism, on the other hand, actually thrives in the free enterprise system on people working as hard and trying to maximize their own benefit, which is another way of saying greed, and that's not necessarily a bad word, except when it gets out of control. The problem with capitalism is that there are no automatic controls, and therefore income and wealth can become very unequal because some people are better at their goal of increasing their own wealth and benefits, and they use every possible means to do so. Once again, not wrong, but it creates issues. My book addresses those issues historically. We look at the biology, we look at the history of mankind, and then we take a look at the more current period. One conclusion is that we have gotten a little out of control, and we need to take some fairly strong steps to bring it back into control. And people don't want to hear this, but the word redistribution comes up very much in my book towards the end. You know, if somebody has $100 billion, that's a lot of money. And if you compare that to the regular average middle-class person, it's really excessive. Let me give an example. One of the things I look at, well, let me give a couple examples first. I'm going to talk about socialism initially. In the period roughly 1950 through 1990, maybe close to 2000, almost 40 to 50 years, socialism really was a very impressive form of the way countries organized their economic systems. The astounding thing about that was that it never succeeded. It sounded good. It sounded great. And so 40% of the world's country, 40% of the population of the world by 1950, were in socialist countries. Well, if you look at the actual numbers, the primary, principal, and most important capitalist countries being the United States. And the way you look at the number is the gross domestic product divided by the number of people, so that the wealth per person, or the GDP per capita is what the economists call it. Well, the GDP per capita of the average socialist country never exceeded 21% of the United States. During the period 1950 through roughly 1990, the socialist countries ran between 17.7 and 21.1% of the GDP per capita in the United States. Then, after they abandoned socialism, they started moving up. Now they're up to probably close to 30%. A good example is China. China is a remarkable example. China's GDP per capita In 1990, let's see, what time Mao Zedong died, our GDP per capita is 20 times theirs, 20 times their GDP per capita. Now, they abandoned socialism and went to a capitalist model, and now it's four times. It's still much, much higher. But boy, have they made progress. And they made progress solely because of the initiation or institution of capitalism within their free enterprise system, within their economies. Meanwhile, the United States has continued to do very, very well. And the GDP per capita of the United States continues to rise. And this is on a constant dollar basis, by the way. This is not the actual dollars at the time. It's adjusted for inflation. You know, we're close to $60,000 per person. And that's grown from, you know, in 1980, it's doubled. It was about half that in 1980. So there's been a big change. Now, it's pretty clear. My book is loaded with data on that particular topic, and it leaves little doubt that the socialist model just plain doesn't work. And when people talk about wanting to have socialism in the United States, they're absolutely crazy. It's not going to work. That doesn't mean social programs won't work. They can work. I mean, after all, Social Security is a social program, works very well.
Right.
Medicare is a social program, works very well. They don't destroy your economy, but if you become a totally socialist economy, they do. And so when people talk about wanting to have socialism in this country, they really want to go backwards. I'm sorry, Kate, did you want to interrupt?
Yeah, I wanted to stop you because I didn't want to run out of time with this, because it's so fascinating, and that's why people need to read this book, because they'll really understand exactly, because you have so much data in it that really backs up what you're saying. But I wanted to jump to this, for everybody that's listening, is what is the fix? You said it, capitalism works, but now we're seeing that the middle people are being squeezed.
That's what I was going to go to. Okay, so I look back at the big change since 1980. So if you look at the household income in 1979, and I break it down into quintiles, the lowest fifth going all the way up to the top quintile, and then the top 1%. What we see is that after income taxes and transfers are, you know, welfare payments and so forth, for the bottom quintile, it was making about, this is in today's dollars, $19,000. The second, 33. The middle, 47. The fourth quintile, 61. The top quintile, 107. The top 1%, 366. It's a lot of numbers. And I run through 2016 because that's when the best hard data is available. What has happened since then is that the bottom quintile, I'm going to just give three numbers, bottom quintile went up by 119%. It more than doubled. Now, the third quintile, that's the middle, actually middle class, went up by 12%.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it just hasn't, the bottom quintile went up 84%, the middle went up by 40%, and the top quintile went up by 100%, and the top 1% by 226%. Speaking in terms of the compound annual growth rate, the annual growth rate for the bottom quintile was 1.5% per year. It's every single year went up 1.5% compounding. The middle quintile, that's the middle total middle class, went up by less than 1%, 0.9% compounding. The top quintile went up by close to 2%, and the top 1% by 3.25%. Well, let me put that in terms of dollars. What it should have been if everyone had an increase at about the same rate. If with our overall income increase, everybody had gone up, the bottom quintile would have, after tax and transfers, would have actually stayed level, 35, roughly the same. The middle quintile, that's the middle class people who make about $66,000 now, would be making $80,000. That's a big difference, big difference. And that prevails for most of the middle class. The top quintile, was making after tax and transfer top 1%, $1,000,001, would be making $600,000. Now that means if everybody went up at the same rate as they were in 1979, so it's proportional. So what's happened is the very bottom have stayed okay. The middle have really taken to the chin, and the top people have really, really increased a lot. And in effect, what's happened is the top people have benefited at the expense of the middle people. That's really what's happened.
Absolutely, and your book is so fascinating. It really delves into that. Charles Ladner, we're out of time. The Biological Detriments of Capitalism, Socialism, and Income Equality. Pick it up. Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay. Thank you.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs understands the importance of supplementing with glucosamine and chondroitin for optimal health and vitality. That's why he recommends Glucogel from Youngevity.
Get on the Glucogel caps from Youngevity. They're a great way to treat arthritis and any kind of joint issues. And oh, by the way, glucosamine is great for helping support the vascular system, the blood vessel system too. So you'll get multiple benefits from the Glucogel caps. You'll be able to treat your arthritis and joints as well as the circulatory system. And also the Glucogel caps can help prevent wrinkles. The Glucogel caps support collagen synthesis.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your joint, circulatory system, and skin health by ordering Glucogel from Youngevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Trying scuba diving in Thailand, Orla Doherty was hooked. She spent 10 years on a ship studying the reefs in the Pacific Ocean. Then she joined the production team of Blue Planet 2 as a producer. She then spent 2.5 years filming 17 expeditions. She produced the Deep episode, spending 500 hours in the submarine. She went as deep as 100 meters, one of the first people to do that in the Antarctic. Doherty says she's most proud of capturing the profound beauty of life in the deep ocean. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. Yeah, you gotta love Orla Doherty. She's an Irish producer with the BBC Studios Natural History Unit, and I talked about her there. This is Women's History Month, and producing The Deep and co-producing our Blue Planet episodes and what she did for that, all because I think part of it, on a whim, she decided, I'm going to try this whole scuba diving thing. She was hooked. You know, she goes to this trip to Thailand, and then she starts to study the coral reefs, and the next thing you know, she spends all that time studying the reefs in the Pacific Ocean, and then she jumps into this, once she had done that, she jumps into the BBC's Natural History Unit in 2013 and gets that mission. If you didn't see Blue Planet 2, put it on your list. Oh, it's incredible. I remember watching it with my nephew, and it made me want to scuba dive. And then I realized, I've done that a few times, and I was kind of afraid of sharks when I was in the Pacific Ocean because of all the kelp beds. I did it, though. I did get certified, and I did dive a bunch of times, and I did have fun on a lot of those dives, but it was short-lived as far as, you know, this isn't something I'm going to be constantly doing. And you got to think about that. All those years filming, diving, all those expeditions and the shots and how they put that together. I think it's one of the best, documentaries of what the ocean is. I mean, just a pure documentary, just absolutely wonderful. So she should be featured in her story, and she should be highlighted during Women's History Month. That is for sure. All right, we're at the tail end of this hour, so I like to, what I call, hit the head, meaning what are the big headlines across the nation and really the world. And of course, the pandemic is the thing, right? Whether you want to talk about it or not, it's kind of this rule when I'm the few times lately, because it's been rare. In the beginning of the pandemic, there, we did more social distancing outside, but everybody is now kind of swamped with what they're doing. But there's kind of this rule with a handful of my friends. You get, you know, you're 10 minutes or so to talk about the pandemic, and then we're done. Because they don't want to be depressed. They don't want to constantly talk about it. But it is part of the conversation, and of course it is, because it's affected every single one of us in some way. Some worse than others economically, certainly personally, some worse than others. I have a friend who's in great shape, just turned 50, and she's a long hauler, and luckily the symptoms aren't as bad as some of the long haulers, but as somebody who was athletic and, you know, could run marathons, that's not happening yet because of the whole breathing thing. So this horrible virus has affected people in all kinds of different ways. And mentally it's affected so many people. We've seen a lot of suicides, you know, when I say a lot, but that people attribute to the isolation and just being one more push in that dark, dark direction. And we've talked about that with psychologists on this show, two different psychologists, about an increase, it seemed, in the numbers and what the reasons were. Now when it looks like we're possibly coming out on the other side, possibly, right? You look at what's happening around the world, and in India, they've detected a double mutant coronavirus variant. And I hate when I hear that word, because of course that's what happens with viruses, but what does it mean, and where does it carry? And so they're just reporting it that they've seen it in 9 samples in New Delhi. So, you know, they had a news conference, and they talked about it, and they talked about the worst Western state that was hit, and that they found 206 samples of that double mutant variant. And as I said, what does that mean for everybody else in the world? Well, the possibility of where that carries over. And then you look at Brazil. Brazil is being described as hell on earth. It's the worst place for COVID-19. The worst place is what they're saying. And the reason is because you look at the numbers. So this week, you know, one day you've got the highest number of deaths of any nation, 3,000 on Tuesday. And this week, Brazil registered COVID-19 deaths rose above 300,000. That's a toll exceeded only by the United States. And think of Brazil compared to the entire population of the United States. So they're trying to buy time. They're trying to buy time, and there's a lot of backlash. A lot of backlash. And part of the reason is because beaches and lakes and other things are being shut down. Supermarkets, bars, restaurants restricted to deliveries only. Not even in and out, that's it. Nope, not even in and out. Delivery only. And they're talking about a complete collapse in their healthcare system. And what's happened? The ICU occupancy rates, 90% or above. Wow, 90% or above, the worst ever, of course, in history. And the concern there is there are plenty of young people who are tired of it, who are partying in the streets, not quite Miami on spring break, but crowds. And they're not physical distancing, and some of them are not wearing masks. While there are plenty that are, there are enough that aren't. So there's big, big, big concern. So to prevent the pandemic from unleashing a wave of poverty last year, the government responded by making emergency payments of $110 a month to more than 65 million Brazilians. Now, facing growing debt, it's cut the sum to $27, so they can't survive on that. So in the United States, while you look at the stimulus checks that are still coming in and those that have gotten them, the $1,400 plus, with kids and other considerations, $110 a month, cut to $27. And the prediction is trouble. That shops are going to be looted, buses are going to be torched, there's going to be massive unrest, and then that's going to make it worse, and it's going to be an even bigger threat to the global public health. Because, again, where does it carry over? Brazil is a breeding ground for more variants that could be more lethal and spread to other countries. That's why you care about this. I mean, of course, for the people of Brazil, but what it also does to everybody else in the world, including Americans, because of the of how it travels. So there is a lot of pressure to do something to placate the people, to get them to stay inside, to do a lockdown, to do whatever they have to do so that they can have a better shot at getting those rates down, getting those ICU rates down, and focusing on how can they cut this disease? How can they combat the variants that they keep seeing, that keep bubbling up? Because, again, it will carry over into the United States and into other countries where I think we have a global audience now, and I think some of you are listening to us in Australia, the UK, and some other places, so you know exactly what that means. It's tough, right? It's like the CDC says there's still a no-sale order that's going to be in place till November 1st. So if you were thinking you were getting on the Love Boat in Fort Lauderdale or in Tampa or in Galveston, Texas, or in New York and Los Angeles, think again, because the cruise lines are crippled. It is a no sale in place until November 1st. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. A big shout out to Nathan Reeder for his awesome work on the technicals. Always remember, we're always walking each other home. Make it count.
SuperTea.com. Pouty Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.